Okay. Good afternoon. This is Amy Wirth. I'm chair of the Metropolitan Transportation Commission, and it is my pleasure to call to order the commission meeting for Wednesday, December 17th, 2014. I'd like to first turn to the our secretary to confirm that we have a quorum.
Confirming quorum.
Okay, great. Second of all, I would like to again welcome everybody here today and say that we welcome public comment on this item or any items before the commission. And if you'd like to make a comment, please collect a blue speaker card at the table next to the window and provide that to the secretary, and I will call on you as the item upon which you'd like to speak comes forward, and also request that everybody speak clearly into the microphones. Note too that supporting agenda items, all the materials for everything that's on the agenda are on the table next to the window as well as online. Next on my chair's report, I have several items. First of all, it is my great pleasure to welcome our two new commissioners and our reassigned commissioner, reappointed commissioner. By way of explanation, first of all, I want to welcome Jason Baker, who is the vice mayor of the city of Campbell, representing the cities of Santa Clara County. So, Jason, welcome very much. If you want to say just a little bit for the whole commission.
Hi, thank you all. It's been a nice warm welcome. I attended the committees last week, and I really appreciate it. I'm Vice Mayor of Campbell and also President of the Cities Association of Santa Clara County, so it'll be a good couple years.
And a busy one, too. So thank you very much for your service. And the next person I'd like to welcome, next commissioner, is Julie Pierce. And Julie is a council member as well as president of the Association of Bay Area Governments. So, Julie, welcome. It's a pleasure to have you here. And if you'd like to say a few things to that.
Thank you, Amy. It is a thrill to be officially part of this august body since I have been hanging out with you as in my capacity as ABAG president for some time. Thank you.
Welcome. And our third commissioner, I want to welcome in his new position, although he's been here for several years, is the president of ABAG. Current commissioner Mark Luce was selected by the Napa County cities and county to fill the unexpired term left by Commissioner Dodd's election to the California Assembly. So, Commissioner Luce, would you like to say a few things?
It's good to be reincarnated.
Well, I just, you know, welcome again to the three of you. I know that you all are, you know, have great experience in transportation and wonderful perspectives to bring to this commission. So we're really pleased to have you all here. And speaking of the three of you, we, as you know, assign all of our commissioners to committees. And so before you is the committee assignments for the three commissioners, and therefore I would like to ask approval of the assignments that I've made, and I would move approval of the committee assignments for Commissioners Baker, Luce, and Pierce, and may I ask if I may have a second, please?
Second.
Seconded by our Vice Chair Cortese. Is there any public comment? Any further discussion? All in favor? Aye. Any opposition? That motion carries unanimously. Again, thank you very much. And just note, too, that although you're going to be assigned to particular committees, all the commissioners are welcome to attend all the committee meetings, which is very much what we do. So we look forward to your participation at all the meetings. Our next time, we have two kind of a bittersweet action, and that we have two resolutions. First of all is resolution number 4166, and as you know, Mayor Kwan, Commissioner Kwan, she has many hats, is going to be retiring from the commission, and we just wanted to, Dean, extend our appreciation to you for your service on the commission. I have had the pleasure of getting to know you and working together, and really want to thank you very much for your service. And so we have something. First of all, I want to ask for a motion to approve the resolution, then we can present it to you.
Second.
Okay, that's been made by Commissioner Haggerty, seconded by Commissioner Campos. Is there any further discussion? Any public comment? Then all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? That motion carries unanimously. And, Dean, if we could go to the podium, I'd love to present it to you.
Okay.
I know, but...
Thank you very much.
My pleasure. You bet. It's our pleasure. So this resolution is presented to in a resolution of appreciation for Jean Kwan upon her stepping down from the Metropolitan Transportation Commission. Whereas Commissioner Jean Kwan is stepping down from the Metropolitan Transportation Commission after 2 years of service, and whereas Jean served as the very first Oakland mayor's representative on the commission, a position established by the 2012 passage of Assembly Bill 57, and whereas Jean provided a proved a tireless champion of Oakland's interest during her tenure as a member of the Commission and MTC's administration, Bay Area Toll Authority Oversight and Programming and Allocations Committees, and whereas Jean in 2010 became the first woman and the first Asian American to be elected mayor of Oakland, and upon her inauguration in 2011, she became the first Chinese-American woman to serve as a mayor of any major U.S. city. And whereas Jean's long commitment to public service includes 12 years as an elected member of the Oakland Unified School Board, 8 years as a member of the Oakland City Council, as well as a full term as mayor, and whereas Jean is also a member of the National League of Cities and the U.S. Conference of Mayors and chaired the U.S. Conference's International Affairs Committee, represents Oakland as a member of the Board of Directors of the California League of Cities and the California Local Government Commission, and serves as a member of the Emerald Cities Collaborative. Whereas Jean's dedication to public service is further evidenced by her work as a board member for the Chabot Space and Science Center and Safe Passages, and by her role in helping establish the nonprofit Friends of Hibakusha organization to help Japanese American survivors of World War II atomic bomb attacks. And whereas Jean, during her term as mayor of Oakland, helped secure federal funding for the redevelopment of the old Oakland Army base and served as a catalyst for the mixed-use Brooklyn Basin development, among many other accomplishments. And whereas Jean has been an intrepid and enthusiastic participant in MTC's sponsored Bike to Work Day activities over the years, and in September 2013, she navigated her bicycle through the wilds of the Bay Bridge East Span construction compound to the new East Span to cut the ribbon on the bridge's bicycle pedestrian path. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the commission and the staff of MTC thank Jean for her service to the agency and for the spirit of advocacy with which she works. And while we bid her farewell for now, look forward to seeing her tackle new challenges in the political arena, and wish Jean and her family many happy adventures in the future. So thank you very much.
I will make this mercilessly short because I've been trying to drop notices as we've been doing the agenda for the last month. Clearly, I was very proud to get the legislation to give Oakland a permanent seat on MTC. I feel that as the population shifts in the Bay Area East, Oakland will become more and more in the center. We are a tireless advocate for public transportation, particularly buses on the East Bay that serve low-income people, and we are continuously named as one of the greenest cities in the country, and we'll be working really hard. And you'll probably see me on this side of the table as we do the International Boulevard Project with the BRT, where I believe the city will have to prove that we can do development with diversity, that the patterns of gentrification in urban cities has got to be stopped, particularly if the city I love, that's so diverse, cannot keep diverse housing and affordable low-income transportation like AC Transit for its workforce. And so I just want to thank you. It's been a pleasure. I've always been, I know sometimes Oakland officials don't spend time in the region and don't participate in the regional board. So I've chaired StopWaste.org. I've been a pretty regular member of ABAG, and I've really learned a lot from all of the different cities around the region. Particularly when we leave the Bay Area, we realize how much we have a lot more in common than we have in difference. And so we have a lot of things, and I know that particularly I will be continuing to work with ABAG on our retrofit legislation and funding mechanisms, because we're still waiting for the other bigger earthquakes. Thank you very much, everyone.
Well, Gene, thank you again for your remarks, and just want you to know what a pleasure it's been to be able to work together in these last few years. Next we have another retirement, not from our commission, but from the California Transportation Commission. And we are, I have before you another resolution that we will be presenting to Andre Boutros at another time, but as you know, he is retiring as executive director of the California Transportation Commission, and again has been a great friend of this commission in helping us move forward many of the initiatives of priority projects for the Bay Area that take really the leadership all the way to the state in terms of providing that funding. So I just wanted to turn to our executive director for a minute. I know that Andre isn't here. And Steve, if I might ask you to just share a few comments, because I know you've worked very closely with him, both as commission as well as the TB POC on the bridge, and probably have some thoughts too.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and good afternoon, commissioners. Andre is, I'm trying to remember, Andy, is he the fourth CTC director that I've worked with on the Toll Bridge Program Oversight Committee? I'm on my eighth Caltrans director, so at least CTC doesn't turn over quite as much. But Andre really hit the ground running, and he hit it, as you know, under very tragic circumstances when Bimla Reinhart passed away. I've really enjoyed working with him. He's got a strong engineering background, so he's not just looking at the engineers in the audience. He's forming his own judgments, and that's been quite helpful in the project as well. And I'll maybe just mention out of order one thing that's in my report that I think most of you are aware of, and that is that Andre's place will be taken by Will Kempton, who is a former chairman of the Toll Bridge Program Oversight Committee. So we'll be happy to welcome Will back. My sense is he's probably not in there for another 15 years, but I think with a person of Will's caliber, we're lucky to have him for a couple of weeks, if that's all it is. And I hope it will be longer than that. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Steve. So we have a resolution before us, and I'd like to ask for a motion moved by Commissioner Tissier, seconded by Commissioner Sperring. Is there any public comment? Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposition? That motion carries unanimously, and I'll look forward to conveying this and our appreciation to Andre when we have an appropriate occasion to do so. So we are so lucky in California to have an amazing group of professionals that work so hard for the benefit of transportation, and appreciate all of his work, as Steve indicated, with us on the bridge and all the projects we've done together. So finally, as you know, we are receiving letters of appointment from the various jurisdictions relative to appointments for the coming 4-year commission term. So congratulations to everyone who's been reappointed, and I look forward to receiving the remaining letters from the various appointing agencies. And for those commissioners who are already reappointed or anticipate being reappointed for the next term, please let me and Commission Vice Chair Cortese know of your preferences for committee assignments. The new commission begins in February, but obviously there's work to be done to be able to make sure that we have the balanced array of commissioners serving on the 2 days, the Wednesday and the Friday. So January 28th will be the final meeting of this commission, and then the new commission will be seated on February 11th. So if you can put that in your calendar. So that's all I have to report. So moving on to our next item, we have a report of the Policy Advisory Council. I'd like to welcome its Chair Kathleen Baker to the podium for your report. Thank you.
Good morning, Commissioners, or afternoon. So I'd like to report on the Policy Advisory Council meeting from December 10th, in which we received updates in regards to the vital signs project that's been going on, as well as the public participation plan. There was lots of interest in the initial report of the Vital Signs Project, which at this point was largely reporting on transit utilization rates kind of historically and in comparison to other metro areas. And a big carryover from the previous Plan Bay Area round was really the most we can disaggregate this information, the more valuable it will be for everyone. So staff is doing a huge amount of work across the board for this massive data collection, but really making clear the walk across between the previous snapshot efforts and this effort, as well as much as we can disaggregate every one of those indicators across the board. A specific ask was really also looking at some of the off-commute transit trips for some of the transit riders who are typically not choice transit riders. And lastly, something we saw really strongly coming through that relates both to the vital signs as well as the public participation plan, in which Steve made himself available to discuss with us, is the importance of the land use around the transit locations. So each one of us from multiple jurisdictions really spoke up to say that, you know, let us know what we can do and let us know how we can be supportive of you and public outreach to build political will for doing supportive land uses and getting the heights right and getting the parking ratios right and getting the affordable units right. Because that goes throughout all of these efforts. So we would just really like to partner with that and other things like the PDA investment and growth strategies, performance analyses. How could we help tighten those down to make sure we're getting that land use pattern correct? Moving on to the public participation plan, there were a few suggestions that were really targeted around effective translation. It's great that Google Translate is going to be available for a lot of the new public portals, but there are other areas. Some of these concepts are pretty deep, so we might want to give some additional attention, or maybe in some of your specific jurisdictions, give specific attention to some of your high-needs languages. And also a great public comment that was made was, again, looking back deeply into previous evaluations of prior public participation processes, because a lot of the nonprofits, a lot of the CBOs that have been at the table before could maybe be reintegrated again. And there's always – looking back is always a good way of learning. There was definitely concern across the board that there hasn't been a particular carve-out for a regional equity working group. So we're going to continue to work with staff, particularly in planning and program and allocations, to try to look at some of the things that were deferred from the previous Plan Bay Area process that we'd really like to see MTC step up and carry forward in this forthcoming process, especially around the call for projects and maybe doing more of a benefit-based thing around project performance evaluation rather than cost basis. It could really turn some projects on their head, we're hoping. So with that, I will say we also welcomed 3 new members to the Policy Advisory Council, and we'll be conducting elections for a new chair and co-chair next month. So you'll see a new chair in your January meeting. So thank you and have good holidays.
Well, thank you. And Kathleen, I just want, on behalf of the commission, want to extend a deep appreciation for you, for your leadership. You've just done a wonderful job. We really appreciate your bringing your reports to the commission each month, and really want to thank you very, very much for your leadership. I know you're rotating back into another one of the chairs, so you'll still be very much involved, but
yes.
Thank you very, very much.
And the entire council is really looking forward to the coming year. So
terrific.
Thank you.
Thanks again. Okay, now I'd like to turn to our executive director, Mr. Heminger, for your report, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll note that we have two new employees, as you see at the top of the page, and you'll be seeing quite a few new employees over the next few months. We've got a number of vacancies and a number of new positions to fill. Summary of events, the BART Oakland Airport connector made quite a bit of news when it opened, just like it made quite a bit of news when we tried to pay for it. This time it was a happy ending, and the project is open. It's in service. It's had a couple of hiccups, I think, with the storms, and you all have some experience with what water does to large infrastructure projects, so I'm sure they will get those kinks worked out. I did note in my report the fact that this is now obviously two of our three major international airports that have direct rail service, and that, as you look around the world, is becoming more and more the standard of whether you've got a world-class airport. And so I know we will be working hard on San Jose. And for those of you who may have forgotten, it was actually funding from you that will make a rail connection to the Sonoma County Airport when SMART opens for service in 2017. So that's all good. The second item is a bit of bad news, frankly, and that is our counterpart agency, the San Diego Association of Governments, lost their appeal in the CEQA case that they lost in trial court on their sustainable community strategy. I think you'll recall they were the first MPO in the state to adopt their plan. And Gary Gallegos, their director, and I usually joke that it was no fun being first or last. And as it turned out, we both had plenty of litigation experience to prove that point. We, however, have been successful. They have not. And I would encourage you, if you're interested, to read the opinion. It was a split decision at the appellate court, and at least to my non-legal eyes, the dissent was a lot more compelling than the majority. So SANDAG has decided to appeal, and we will await the Supreme Court's decision whether they will take the case, and then I expect we'll consider filing another amicus brief as we did in the appellate court level to try to get them through. Of course, the irony of all this is that given how long this has taken to prosecute the litigation over the first plan, they will probably have their second plan adopted by the time they get a decision about whether their first plan's EIR was adequate. Welcome to California. On the second page, I already mentioned Will Kempton. There was actually another bit of news about the toll bridge seismic program, in case you missed it, and that is Malcolm Dougherty sent out a letter announcing a reorganization of the staff of the program, I think largely reflecting the fact that we really don't have a seismic retrofit program anymore. We have a demolition project at the Bay Bridge, and that's about it. And so in brief, the structure will basically reintegrate that demolition work in Caltrans District 4. One thing that Will did when he was director of Caltrans is he put in place a reporting system where the program manager, Tony Anziano, reported directly to the director of the department, which was very unusual. So he bypassed a lot of people. And I think that worked to some extent in terms of forging a closer relationship with the director, but to some extent I think we may have paid a little bit of a price for that, because that meant the chief engineer was not in the loop. It meant Bijan was not in the loop. And so in terms of what we got for expediency, we lost a little bit for the value of the experience of those folks that were up and down the chain. And so now what we have is a much more typical organizational structure. And Tony's place essentially will be taken by Dan McElhaney, whom you know quite well. And Andy knows and works well with. So my congratulations to both Tony and Dan as they move on to new things here. Is Dan here?
Yeah.
Well, my condolences to Dan. Then.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Dan used to work on the Bay Bridge, and he thought he was through with it. But that project just comes back and gets everybody. I would also like to mention another bit of news about the bridge. And Madam Chair, your tenure began soon before the bolts broke. And I think your tenure is going to coincide, the ending of it, with the wrapping up of the saga, we certainly hope. And as you know, after the bolts did break, we spent quite a bit of time figuring out how to retrofit that part of the bridge, and that work has been completed. But we also ordered a very rigorous testing program of the remaining bolts on the bridge to make sure we didn't have the same problem showing up somewhere else. And that testing program was concluded for all intents and purposes. There are a few little things left, but the bulk of the testing was done in September. We were given a report by a all-star team of 9 PhD experts in the subject, and their essential conclusion was that the remaining bolts are going to be okay. They're going to be okay because many of them are protected in areas that are dehumidified to keep away the moisture, which was one of the problems with the bolts that failed. They were sitting in water. They have better material properties because they were manufactured differently, and many of them have much lower tension levels than the bolts that did break, and that was a critical factor in the failures that did occur. So, the Oversight Committee that I chair, we have accepted that information. We have drafted a supplemental report to the one that we issued last summer that we used to brief you all about every couple of months. And that supplemental report is now on the Bay Bridge Info website, and we'll be acting on it on Friday. So I am hopeful that that will finally bring to a conclusion most of the commentary on the subject. I'm sure there'll probably be a couple reporters who can't help themselves. The Silicon Valley briefing that I mentioned here, I think, was noteworthy for one thing at least, and that is the presence of several state legislators, both senators and members of the Assembly, who were gathered by Carl Gardino to really talk about two particular projects and our chances of advancing them in the cap and trade arena, the second phase of the BART extension to San Jose and the Caltrain electrification program. There were a lot of corporate representatives there, a lot of interest, and I include in my report the PowerPoint that I presented, and I think it's probably our latest thinking at the staff level of how we think the program might work. So you might want to take a look at that, because I know that most of you have more than a passing interest in how that program is going to turn out. And finally, the map of the month. I think this month's map is behind Commissioner Wiener. And it's a color-coded chart of our local road conditions in the Bay Area. And what you want to look for is the red. The red reflects failing pavement. And you can see there's red all over the place, just for starters. But you can see pretty heavy concentrations of that red here in the East Bay, in Vallejo, in some of the North Bay cities. And that really tells you where we need to do a lot better in working in conjunction with those entities that own those roads and those jurisdictions. So I will conclude on that note and wish you all Merry Christmas and Happy Hanukkah.
Great. Steve, thank you. Thank you very much. Could we have 109 copies of that pavement map? I think this is the kind of thing that would be very interesting to cities. I know we produce the annual paving report every year, and it's or every 2 years. It's a very compelling look at the infrastructure needs in the Bay Area. Shows how far we need to go in terms of bringing those streets and roads up to the conditions they should be.
Well, and it's worth noting, and I did this with a group that I just spoke to a couple of days ago. The cap and trade program is a tremendous funding opportunity for us, but it's largely going to be focused on alternative modes, on transit, on bikes and pedestrian facilities, not so much local road repair, not so much repair of our state highway system, and those are two huge assets that we are falling way behind taking care of.
Great. Thank you. Are there any other questions for our executive director? Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. Moving on to our next item, we have the consent calendar. May I please have a motion? Commissioner Aguirre?
Yes, move to approve.
Move. Commissioner Luce, seconded by Commissioner Luce. Any further discussion, public comment? Then all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposition? That consent calendar is adopted unanimously. Now we move on to committee reports and item 7, committee of the report of the Programming and Allocations Committee. And if I may turn to the Vice Chair, Commissioner Campos, for that report. We have several items. Again, I'd like to invite everyone. I have one speaker card, and if anybody else would like to speak, please fill out the speaker card and bring it forward. So if I may now turn to Commissioner Campos.
Sure. Thank you, Madam Chair. Happy holidays to everyone. The Programming and Allocations Committee met on December 10th. Three items are before you for action today. MTC Resolution Number 4035 revised as part of the Climate Initiatives Program. It allocates approximately $2 million of congestion mitigation and air quality improvement Cycle 2 funds for projects that support car sharing. I move approval of Resolution Number 4035 as revised.
Okay. Are there any second? Moved by Commissioner Campos, seconded by Commissioner Spearing, and I have a yes, Commissioner Liccardo. Question.
Thank you. Just a question. Certainly, there are plenty of companies that are doing well in this business, and certainly we're seeing this spread quickly, recognizing these dollars are scarce and we have a lot of transit needs. I'm just trying to understand why we're subsidizing car sharing and why we think the industry can't do well enough on its own.
Alex Bockelman, Deputy Executive Director for Policy. The Plan Bay Area did look at car sharing as one of the strategies that could help help us to meet our greenhouse gas emission reduction targets. So we set aside a small amount of money to try to help car sharing spread. And as you note, in several areas, car sharing is doing very well, but that tends to be in the more urban environments. So we were trying to target areas that aren't yet seeing a lot of car sharing in this grant solicitation that we did. So we were looking at either sort of urban areas where maybe there were it wasn't taking hold, or maybe there were low-income communities. We were also looking at suburban areas. So we were looking at sort of new opportunities as well. Some of the jurisdictions that submitted were looking at new types of car sharing opportunities, supporting point-to-point car sharing. So it was really trying to build on the success, but not trying to necessarily subsidize areas where it's already doing well, but looking at new opportunities. And again, recognizing that this was one of, you know, a pretty big component of our GHG strategy for the Bay Area.
Thanks, Alex. Is there empirical info out there that's telling us, I mean, moving away from just the standard car sharing to what we're seeing now with the sharing economy with Uber and Sidecar and Lyft and others, are those companies not operating in some communities of concern, for example? Are we not seeing penetration in those areas?
I don't know that we have a good answer for you. We could try to get back to you on that one. Remember, too, the Climate Initiatives Program, as we conceptualized it at least, is very much an incubator. We're trying things out, and some of them may not prove out. Some of them may prove, as you're, I think, suspecting here, that the market can do it fine or that there is no market. So I don't think any of the money in this program is intended to be an ongoing subsidy for any activity. What we're really trying to find, and we're still new in this field, is where can we find some greenhouse gas reductions that aren't in the wheelhouse, right? You know, transit service, TOD, et cetera. Because if we can find some, the research we have seen suggests they can be incredibly cost effective in terms of investing our funds and getting the bang for the buck.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much. So is there any further discussion or questions? And in public comment, I have no speaker cards. And all in favor?
I believe actually. Is
oh, the no, no, you're not. No, you're going to, you wanted to talk about item C, right?
Is that not?
Yeah, that's the.
One Bay Area grant?
Yeah, yeah.
This is where I'll work on 6.
Yeah, that's what I have on your card. Is that where you. I'm sorry. Yeah, you wanted to talk about 7C?
Which is the One Bay Area grant extension.
Yeah, we haven't got there yet. Yeah, great. Okay, perfect. So then all in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposition? That motion carries unanimously.
Great. Thank you, Madam Chair. The next item, item 7B, MTC resolution numbers 4035, revised 4084, revised 4162, 4163, and 4165, which programs approximately $404 million in Federal Transit Administration sections 5307, 5337, and 5339 funds. Cycle 2 Surface Transportation Program Funds and AB664 Net Bridge Toll Revenues to support transit capital replacement and rehabilitation projects, as well as operating costs in fiscal year 2014-2015 and programs $11 million in fiscal year 2012-13 and fiscal year 2013-14 FTA funds that were previously reserved for Caltrain electrification to a Caltrain bridge replacement project and San Francisco Municipal Transportation Agency's GPS project. Consistent with committee direction, this item defers action for 2 months on $10.5 million in funding for the Caltrain rail car replacement project. I move approval of MTC resolutions numbers 4035 revised, 4084 revised, 4162, 4163, and 4165.
Thank you, Commissioner Campos. Is there a second, please? Seconded by Commissioner Liccardo. I'm sorry. I saw a hand up and heard a voice. So that was seconded by Commissioner Haggerty. Thank you. And are there any questions? Yes, Commissioner Liccardo.
I just wanted to thank the committee for the deferral of the $10.5 million of the vehicle procurement reserve. I hope we can work that out.
I want you to know your new commissioner did an excellent job of representing Santa Clara cities in that discussion.
That's what I heard. I'm glad somebody's carrying the load for our county, not me.
So, exactly. Okay, thank you. And along with the county representative. So, again, it was a good discussion, and we appreciate, you know, the authority bringing forward those issues so we could have that discussion and keep the projects moving forward, but recognizing that timing sometimes is important. I have no speaker cards. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? That motion carries unanimously. Now I'll turn back to Commissioner Campos for item C.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. Item 7C is MTC resolution number 4035 revised, which adds a fifth year to OBAG 1 to address a funding shortfall in the program and includes changes to an upcoming deadline that local jurisdictions need to meet with respect to bicycle, pedestrian, and housing policies and their general plans. I actually have a question about this item, I don't know if I should be the one moving the item.
All right. Well, why don't you hold the question then, and I will ask for a motion and a second, and we have some public comment, too. So we'll – okay.
I'll move it for discussion.
Move it for discussion, Commissioner Kinsey, seconded by Commissioner Cortese. Okay, so now let's bring it back to the discussion. First, let's start with any questions, and then we'll take public comment and then have the discussion. All right, Commissioner Campos.
But we have a question about the Safe Route to Schools.
Yeah, okay, Commissioner Kinsey and then Commissioner Wiener.
I wanted to just check in and get a better understanding of this. This is a one-year extension of our OBAG program, and it's intended to be a glide path into OBAG 2, where we foresee significantly less funding. Is that correct?
Commissioner, the trouble is OBAG was supposed to be a four-year program. The money from Washington is not coming fast enough, so we need to add a fifth year to deliver 4 years' worth of cost. That's the issue.
And in terms of the projects that are going to be cut back from what they'd anticipated, you see that the fifth year makes many of them whole?
Well, the fifth year basically gets us there. I believe there were some nips and tucks along the way, and I think Alex would be the better person to explain them, because I have a feeling some of the concern and the testimony is going to be about one of those nips.
It's going to be about the nip around safe routes, I think. Yeah.
Right.
Alex?
Sure. So what we were trying to accomplish with this fifth year was, again, just to deliver the four-year program. But what we recognized was that there were certain regional projects that we had in contract that, for example, we needed to have enough money just to continue our existing contracts. We also recognized that we had, some of this money has provided money for planning staff in the region, not just MTC, but CMA planning, BCDC, ABAG. So we wanted to ensure that we had enough money for either existing contracts or sort of to maintain existing staffing levels. And so that's sort of the amount of money that we had for this year. So we were really trying not to do any new commitments. We did have enough money to provide some money for the Safe Route to Transit program, to school program, sorry, and recognizing that that was, that is a very, it's been a very popular program. It sort of doesn't fit exactly into those two categories I just talked about, meaning it's, you know, existing contracts or existing staff, but we thought since there was some money that we could put some money towards it. It wasn't meant to be necessarily, I think, Commissioner Kinsey, you mentioned a glide path. We weren't trying to set any policy precedent. We actually just had a certain amount of money. We were trying to maintain, you know, the projects that we've already committed to in the 4 years, existing contracts for regional operation programs, and then planning staff. And then we had a little bit of extra money, and we wanted to provide some support for Safe Routes school.
So on those regional operations, are those programs like the call box and other things of that nature, or is that what you're referring to?
It includes the 511 traveler information, incident management, some staff related to the freeway performance initiative. Yes, so things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, obviously I am a strong advocate for Safe Routes. I think many people are, and it's because it directly impacts communities and in particular communities of concern. I understand also that, you know, we don't make money. If the feds aren't delivering and we made estimates that aren't coming through, we have to, you know, modify our budgets. But in the going forward piece, what ways can you envision that we might be able to keep alive our Safe Routes commitment?
Well, we were committed to coming back to the commission and talking about a new 3-year cycle or 4-year cycle. And at that time, we assumed that we would talk about everything. I know at the last meeting, there were discussions about the priority conservation areas, about more car sharing, or then here today, I heard less car sharing, but transit capital. So we were going to come back this spring and sort of look at all the priorities and look at new revenue estimates. And as part of that, we would be looking at Safe Route to School. So again, this wasn't meant to be a precedent setting for Safe Routes to School. It was just the amount of money we had available to continue in this year.
Yeah, I think our preference, Commissioner, would be to try to have the discussion not in isolation, but about all the priorities that we've got in OBAG, and that would be for OBAG 2. It's just this extra year crept up on us because we've got to pay the bills in OBAG 1 before we get to OBAG 2.
Okay, thank you.
So Commissioner Wiener and then Commissioner Campos.
Thank you. I definitely understand what we're in a tight spot, not of our making. But I also see the Safe Routes to School cut, I believe, is the proposal for the fifth year is $2.7 million, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, it's 2.7, and for the other 4 years of OBAG, each year was $5 million.
Right, so it's about a $2.3 million reduction in the fifth year compared to the previous years. And it seems like that's not an enormous amount of money, but it does have significant impacts. This is sort of relatively low-cost program that is popular because it is quite impactful. And so what I would say is if it's not possible to fully fund that $5 million here in this particular in OBAG or at this time, I would say that since we're talking about the 16-17 fiscal year, that means that next year, as we're revisiting the program overall, we might be able to go back in and fix this by increasing the 16-17 fiscal year allocation from the 2.7 to the $5 million. So this is fixable even if we can't resolve it today.
You certainly could. And again, remember, for purposes of comparison, most of the other programs are not getting any extra money.
No.
They're getting what they thought they would get over 5 years instead of four.
Right. No, absolutely.
Okay. Mr. Campos.
Thank you. I'm just wondering if it's possible here to add additional money to Safe Routes from other
It certainly is. I think Alex mentioned, though, the constraints. At least let me explain the constraints that we operated under. We wanted to keep existing staff employed. We didn't want to fire people that we'd have to go hire for the second round. And we wanted to keep existing contracts underway. And that's really where we backed into this number of 2.7. Now, we can go back to the drawing board and see if we could scrape up some more, but it's pretty much a zero-sum game here. And we only have as much money as Washington gives us. Look, you've got the option of trying to pay them now or pay them later, as I think Commissioner Weiner was suggesting. So that's your policy decision. We would probably need an extra month if you want to try to squeeze more for them into this package, because I'm not quite sure sitting here today how we do it.
I certainly would like to explore that possibility.
So I had a question on this. You know, Steve, one of the things that I'm hearing from some of the folks that are involved in this, is trying to understand how where we are in terms of actually building the projects that are on the books. And do we have any way, like we've done with RM2, for example, of determining where these projects are in terms of, you know, what's being delivered?
We can certainly make that report to you, and whether you want to do it now or do it in
a few months. No, I think in the future. But, again, I think that right. There's been some concern I'm hearing from some of the pedestrian and bicycle advocacy folks that they would like to see these projects move more. You know, some of them are just kind of on pause. So I just think it would be helpful to know from our standpoint the grant money that we're providing to be assured that those projects are – you know, going on onto the ground, so to speak. So it'd be helpful.
We can certainly do so.
So just to clarify, because Commissioner.
Just a quick question on the sort of unringing the bell. If you go back and look at these contracts that we've already extended out, do we run the risk of being penalized for changing the contract or unringing the bell?
Yeah, I'll tell you, Commissioner, looking at the contract is probably not the first place I'd look, because we've got legal
personnel
obligations there, and we've, you know, some of this money does go to ongoing activity and people. And I really think without being incredibly disruptive, you don't want to go there. So we probably have to look at some of the other moving pieces, and there are only so many in this puzzle. But if that's your direction, we can do it. Again, it's a choice, I think, really between doing it in the short term or doing it in the medium term. You're going to do it one way or the other.
And maybe the question I have, what is the medium term? Yeah. Is that just next year? Just adding on to it next year?
Well, that will be, as Alex was describing, when we come back to you and start talking about OBAG 2. We were hoping to do that sooner, but now we've run out of gas for OBAG 1, so it's going to take a little longer. But, Alex, what would your estimate be about when we're ready to have that OBAG 2 discussion?
Well, we were planning to come to the Program and Allocations Committee in the spring of 2015, so in 6 months, and then adopt it by the fall. So in either case, it would be before we get to 2016-17, we would have looked at this again and potentially could make an adjustment, you know, but you'd have the whole context at that point.
And I assume, knowing right now that you would want to put more into Safe Routes to School, that could be, like, the priority of the OBAG 2.
Yeah, you're all pretty bad poker players, so I think I get the picture about what you want.
Okay. All right. Yeah, Commissioner Sparing.
Steve, on Supervisor Weiner's suggestion, I'm assuming we would go ahead and approve this as presented today, and then it would come back to us in a year with that review?
I think Commissioner Weiner makes a good point in that the 2.7, again, is additional money that many other programs are not getting. There's clearly a desire to do better than that, and there's nothing you do today that will prevent you doing better.
Okay, and so this could go forward and still revisit.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Great. Then we have one public speaker now, Martin Martinez. Welcome to the podium.
Thank you. Sorry for my confusion earlier. Marty Martinez with Safe Routes to School National Partnership. Actually, on another note, not related to the Safe Routes to School funding, I just wanted to thank we were part of 12 organizations that did the sign-on letter that's also in your packet that's related to the Complete Streets deadline. And we expressed some initial concern and met with Alex and staff, and really thank you for we support the compromise that's there and are excited to keep working with MTC on the Complete Streets piece. And then on the regional Safe Routes to School funding, thank you very much for mentioning for the discussion and the show of support for the program. Just to say, you know, that this particular program meets all of MTC's stated goals around climate change, greenhouse gas reduction, health, safety, disproportionately impacts children. So I thank you for the show of support. And again, as Commissioner Wiener said, it really is cost effective. And I guess my only plea, and again, I thank the staff for including this. I guess my only plea is that it is, as was mentioned, it is a very small amount of money. And there, you know, even though it's only a $2.3 million shortfall, that will result in layoffs in some of the counties. It will result in some schools, potentially, you know, in communities of concern, getting cut off from some of the Safe Routes to School programmatic activities that are going on in each of our counties. Even though, again, I appreciate that it's money that perhaps wasn't initially allocated, that it is going to effectively be a cut of about half for the programs in the counties, with again the staff and school ramifications. And again, it even though it has this enormous impact, it is really a drop in the bucket. And I would again, I appreciate exactly the course of this conversation, but just if I may respectfully offer, it would be it does seem that if you look at all the suggestions for funding, it would be possible to move some of the funding around. For example, I'm not sure what I'm not sure the impact precisely of all of the programs, but looking at what I do understand about some of the other programs that are being funded, it doesn't appear that they meet, again, all of the MTC goals that the Safe Routes to School program meets. And again, it is such a small amount that for example, you could take less than $1 million from, you know, 0.77 million from three programs and easily make up the change, like the 511 travel information, freeway performance initiatives, and CMA planning grants, and easily make up that difference. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Thank you very much for your comments. I want to close the public comment period and bring it back to the commission for further discussion. Yeah, Commissioner Bates.
I'm sorry. I think the last speaker confused me. I thought this was new money. This is not ongoing funding. It's currently being funded. Is that correct?
Commissioner Bates, we're proposing to use an extra year of money to mostly just meet the commitments under OBAG 1, but also to do some additional activities in fiscal year 16-17, which would just be sort of continue planning activities and contracts, plus we have proposed some money for Safe Routes to School.
So if this motion passes, then the school districts will, and the people who produce this program, not necessarily school districts, will have the sufficient funding that they have currently, but they won't have an increase? Am I hearing this correctly?
So what's being proposed is the action that you took for the OBAG 1, they had the counties had $5 million a year. So this would have, for 16-17, would have $2.7 million.
Oh, so it's a reduction.
It's a reduction in 16-17.
Okay.
But again, Commissioner, it's a reduction unless you decide to augment it between now and then. And I think, given the tenor of the conversation, you just might decide to do that.
And then is when? October 2016?
Excuse me?
Tom, do you mind speaking?
When do you have to make the difference between when and now and when?
Well, look, one big variable that we've got, and none of us know the answer to sitting here today, is the MAP 21 bill expires in May. We don't know what the next bill is going to look like. And if we hit a home run, then this conversation's easy. If we don't, and if I had to bet money, I don't think we're going to be lucky to get the ball out of the infield, then I think the conversation will be more difficult. I do believe you would be better served by having that conversation in full context and not in isolation, because there are plenty of folks who, if they knew today was happening, might want to come to the microphone and say, what about my program, too? There are a lot of priorities and programs in this whole OBAG package. And I think you're always better served when you have all the choices and trade-offs in front of you.
So I would certainly agree with that. I guess I didn't pose my question correctly. So if we go on down this path, the time that they'll face the problem with the shortfall will be their July 1st budget moving forward?
It'll be federal 16-17.
So it's October or whatever, September.
Right, but that's not next year at all. It's the year after next year.
It's not next year. It's the year after. Oh, okay.
Right.
Well, we have plenty of time to straighten it out, presumably.
Okay. Thank you. Commissioner Kwan, and then Commissioner Tissier.
I was just going to follow up. So I knew it was a few years out, but I think the speaker's point is that those of us who are former school board members, and a couple of us have been around the table, we know that these often pay for part-time jobs and or people who sometimes do cafeteria, but then they do the school crossing guards or they do whatever. And it's a relatively little amount of money, but a lot of people. And that is maybe the budget balance in some of our other funds. So I hope that next year when you look at this, you look at maybe not treating all the funds the same and the same across the board cut, because some programs are smaller, some programs hire a lot more people with a little bit of money. And that particularly with the new generation, trying to get them to walk to school is pretty critical. I know in Oakland, it is funded partly by the city and partly by the school district and partly by CDBG funds, just to get the safe walking and the bike programs going. And they're mostly part-time workers, and they're more impacted than others.
Okay, thank you. Commissioner Tissier, and then Commissioner Wiener.
I didn't actually – well, I had a comment earlier. I mean, I agree with the fact that we want to look at this and make sure we can make it whole, but I would like to make the motion that we move it forward with what we have today, and then I think Steve got a pretty clear message that this is very important for all of us, so that we could see how we cobble that together for the 16-17 so we don't lose that $2.3 million.
Second.
Okay, that's an amendment to the motion made by Commissioner Tissier, seconded by Commissioner Hagerty, and I'll go back to Commissioner Wiener.
Thank you. I was actually along the
idea.
along the similar lines to what Commissioner Tissier was saying. Perhaps we amend this motion to explicitly direct staff to come back within, let's say, 6 months with a proposal for how we move the $2.7 million up to the $5 million for year five of OBAG. And what are different options for where that money could come from? So we just put a timetable on it.
Okay.
Staff does their job.
All right. So
more specific. It's okay. I'm fine.
So you're good? Okay. Perfect. I think that puts a time frame in the intent. Okay.
Okay. So that would be a motion to amend, I guess.
I think the makers
is accepting it. Okay.
That.
Great.
Okay. Is there any further discussion?
Wait till they see.
Okay. All in favor? Aye. Any opposition? That motion carries unanimously. Great. Thank you. Now we'll move on to our next item, which is the Legislation Committee. I'd like to turn to the committee chair, Commissioner Hagerty.
All right. Legislative Committee met on December 12th and referred the following item to the commission for approval. The final 2015 advocacy program includes proposals that MTC will seek, sponsor, and actively engage as bills are introduced in Sacramento and Washington, D.C. I move the adoption of MTC's final 2015 advocacy program.
Second.
Okay, that's been moved by Commissioner Hagerty, seconded by Commissioner Tissier. Right. Are there any questions? Any public comment? I have no speaker cards. With that, then, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposition? That motion carries unanimously. Thank you. I'd like to now turn to Vice Chair of the Operations Committee, Commissioner Kinsey.
Thank you. The MTC Operations Committee met on Friday, December 12th, and refers the following item to the Commission, the Clipper Card Evaluation Policy and the Clipper Card Advertising Standards. We felt that this was best presented to the Commission as a whole.
So thank you. So with that, if I could turn to staff.
Oh, Jason Weinstein will
yeah,
be
perfect.
Making the
okay,
presentation.
Okay, Jason. Yes, I know there were some questions that came up as Commissioner Kinsey indicated at the committee meeting, and there was concurrence that it was important to bring it forward to the commission to be able to provide that information. So thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Commissioner Kinsey. And good afternoon, Commissioners. Jason Weinstein here with Clipper staff. I'm here this afternoon to discuss, again, the custom Clipper card evaluation policy and Clipper card advertising standards. This item, which is attachment B to your commission memo in the yellow packet you have there, was brought to the December Operations Committee. After discussion, the committee referred the item to the full commission. We're here today and asked staff to modify the policy to address the following: to include objectives in the policy that were expressed in the executive director's memo to the operations committee that was dated December 5th, 2014, and to clarify that custom Clipper cards were intended to be limited to commercial and governmental purpose messages only. So for those commissioners that were not here last Wednesday, I'd like to briefly go through a little bit of background on the custom Clipper cards produced to date and then discuss the RISE policy, and we'll go from there. So since 2012, 10 custom Clipper cards have been produced. You can see images of them on page B3 of your package. The card quantities have ranged from 500 to 250,000, with distribution strategies ranging from giveaways at promotional events to distribution through our Clipper retail network. In early 2012, staff established objectives for the issuance of custom Clipper cards, and they were to expand the reach and visibility of Clipper program to occasional riders and visitors, to enhance connections between Clipper and the Bay Area for historical and iconic purposes and for events and other items, to create partnerships and opportunities and revenue generation opportunities. So with that, I'll talk a little bit about the policy. The revised proposed policy is discussed in attachment A to your item, and it includes advertising standards on page A4 and A5 of attachment A. The policy now includes general objectives and discusses the general restrictions on custom card production. The policy then goes into the review and approval process as well as the card evaluation criteria. Once staff has reviewed the opportunity for a custom Clipper card and found it to meet the general restrictions, then the request is reviewed with the following criteria in mind. So how much time staff would be required to implement it, the card production and distribution aspects, opportunities for promoting the Clipper brand, and importantly, increasing the use of transit. The advertising standards, which is Exhibit A in your item, addresses a number of topics. Topics are typically things that we don't want to see. The card shall not display or maintain advertisement that falls into one or more of many categories, some of which are things that are demeaning or disparaging or profane, unlawful, detrimental to general public, libelous, false, obscene, and a number of other items which are listed in Exhibit A. So once staff has reviewed an opportunity for a custom Clipper card and found it to meet the policy described, staff would recommend the production of this card to the executive director or his designee for approval. So going forward, staff would like to continue to evaluate opportunities for custom Clipper cards in accordance with this policy. And staff will use this policy to carefully address the opportunities as they arise. So at this point, I'm going to pass the discussion over to Brooke Ebola, Senior Counsel for MTC, who's going to present a few slides to orient you on one of the things that came up at the Operations Committee meeting and how the policy fits into case law analyzing bus advertising policies under the First Amendment challenges.
Good afternoon, Commissioners. Brooke Ebola, Senior Counsel here at MTC. Just a very brief walkthrough of First Amendment laws applied to advertising policies. The First Amendment to the United States Constitution has been the basis from time to time for challenges to governmental restrictions on speech. Governmental restrictions based solely on the content of speech are presumed to be invalid, with certain exceptions for things such as speech that incites imminent harm, obscenity, false or deceptive advertising, and advertising of illegal products or transactions. Governments can restrict the time, place, and manner in which speech occurs on government property so long as adequate channels for communication are available. And beyond these basic principles, governmental restrictions on speech are analyzed differently depending on the type of government property where the speech would occur. Courts divide government property into three categories. A traditional public forum is a place that has been traditionally reserved for public expression, such as a public park. A designated public forum would not otherwise be seen as a traditional forum, but the government, by its policy and practice, has opened the space for public expression. The third category is a non-public forum, which is a place that has not been open to the public for discourse or expression. In a non-public forum, the government can restrict access based on the basis of subject matter and speaker identity, but not based on the speaker's viewpoint. The Supreme Court has held that bus advertising space is not a traditional public forum, so cases about municipal bus advertising start with the question of whether the bus advertising space is a designated public forum or a non-public forum. Where the court finds the ad space on the bus to be a designated public forum, restrictions on advertising are reviewed with strict scrutiny to see if they are narrowly tailored to serve a compelling government interest. Where the court finds the ad space on the bus to be a non-public forum, restrictions on advertising are reviewed only for reasonableness and neutrality as to viewpoint. Next one. Several factors are considered by courts in determining the nature of the forum in the bus advertising cases. First is the government's stated policy and actual practice around opening up bus advertising for public discourse. Second is the nature of the property and its compatibility with expressive activity. And third is whether the stated policy allows advertising beyond that with a commercial purpose. Allowing advertisements that take a position on a social issue or topic under public debate has been held to create a designated public forum. And certainly allowing political speech would be found to create a designated public forum. The proposed Clipper policy before you, as revised and reflected in Attachment A in the packet, states an intent that the Clipper card remain a non-public forum. The policy limits acceptable custom card proposals to two types. First are governmentally sponsored messages that advance the sponsor's governmental purpose and do not comment on issues of public debate. Second are messages from non-governmental sponsors with a commercial purpose. Viewpoint-neutral restrictions on content would apply to all proposals to protect MTC's commercial interests as operator of the Clipper program. And so that concludes my presentation, and I'm happy to take questions later once Jason concludes his presentation.
So now that we've gone through the general policy and there's a specific opportunity that's come up with regard to the World Entertainment Incorporated, WWE. They're holding an event in San Jose at Levi's Stadium in March 2015 with an expected attendance of 70,000. And in partnership with VTA and Levi's Stadium, the WWE would like to order 2,700 custom Clipper cards. Staff has evaluated this opportunity and believes it's commercial in nature and meets the criteria of promoting the use of transit and increasing the visibility of Clipper for infrequent and out of area riders, while also providing a connection between Clipper and a prominent Bay Area event. Card also helps to further the partnership among Clipper, VTA, and Levi's Stadium. So that being said, staff recommends that the commission approve the policy set forth in Attachment A, with the goal of continuing to produce custom cards that raise the profile of Clipper and build partnerships within the community. Staff also recommends that the commission authorize the executive director or his designee to negotiate and enter into a contract with WWE for this custom card opportunity described in Attachment B. Finally, staff recommends that the commission delegate authority to the executive director or his designee to implement the policy and to revise the policy as may be required from time to time due to changes in law, regulation, or procedures relating to the Clipper program. And we're both here, or staff's here, to answer any questions you may have.
Great. Thank you very much for that presentation. And I'd now like to turn and ask if there are any questions. I have no speaker cards on this item, so I'd like to turn to Commissioner Campos.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You know, I always wanted to do business with the World Wrestling Entertainment. Thank you for the presentation. I think that, you know, staff has outlined all the things that you want to think about. And I know that we have allowed for the use in the past. So in that sense, you know, that door has been opened before. So I think that, you know, given where we are, I think this is as thoughtful and careful policy as we can have. So I appreciate the work. It's a body slam.
Great. Thank you. I love it. So, yeah, we'll get it. So, Commissioner Campos, would you like to also
make that motion, the three
items? Yes. Okay, great. Motion by Commissioner Campos, seconded by Commissioner Kinsey. Any further discussion? Well, I want to thank, first of all, the commissioners for raising those questions so that we could have those answers brought back to us today. I appreciate that and appreciate the thoughtful presentation that you provided in terms of both the intent of this program as well as these carefully and thoughtfully developed policies. So really appreciate also the work of our legal team as well as our Clipper marketing team to get the word out. I think one of the things that it's important to find the opportunities that reach out to a broad cross-section of potential Clipper users. So it's always great to find a new new market. So thank you very much. So with that, no speaker cards. Commissioner Aguirre.
And while I appreciate the comments made about the WWE, one of the things that I see, and I know I was at the former meeting where we discussed this thoroughly, and I'm so appreciative of having all these guidelines, but, you know, this is a promotion for transportation in the South Bay, and I'm just excited that that organization has said, you know what, this is how we want to do it, and so this is promoting public transportation, so I think it is a win-win or a body slam or whatever we look at it. But I think that I don't want us to forget, what it means to us, even though it is an organization that we normally don't have on our agenda items.
So thank you very much for those comments. And I'm looking forward to when this is televised. We make sure they get a shot of people coming off of transit with their Clipper cards. So that's great. Thank you very much. That being said, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposition? That motion carries unanimously. And again, thank you to everyone for your hard work on this. We are going to be moving into a closed session, but before we do, I'd like to, first of all, come back to the commission to see if there are any commissioner comments. I skipped the opportunity for all of you to make any additional comments. I don't see any. Okay. Oh, yes, Commissioner Kinsey.
I just wanted to thank you, Madam Chair, and Steve and Andy. We are going to be in front of the Secretary of Transportation at the end of this week trying to make a case for what was supposed to be a Columbus Day, easy to get it done and make things work better event on the Richmond-San Rafael Bridge. And we need the support and encouragement and probably even the prayers of all these commissioners to make headway on that. But I appreciate you making the time to go up there directly to make the case for allowing that bridge to be used more effectively during the commute time. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Kinsey, for those comments. And I also want to just kind of echo those and say also appreciate the work that the trails and bicycle and pedestrian advocacy community is engaged in this discussion, particularly TRAC, which is the City of Richmond Trails Committee that's working very hard to look to find a permanent, safe bicycle and pedestrian access point. So I think it is a real cooperative effort. So thank you to staff for your hard work on this too. The other thing is I just wanted to note the staff very thoughtfully provided in advance a calendar for 2015. So I want to thank our commission secretary you can start putting that into the electronic calendars that everyone has and a few paper calendars too. Then also, I'd like to take public comment now, so you won't have to stay, if you'd like. I see affirming. So I first of all like to turn to Roland LeBrun for comments, and he'll be followed by Ken Bukowski.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and welcome to Supervisor Cortese in your next assignment. So what I'd like to do is to follow up on the conversation we had at the Is this working?
Yeah. Yes,
okay,
it is.
At programming and allocations about the Bay Bridge Bay Lights. So as background, on my way home to San Jose in the evening, my favorite table is at the water bar on the patio, the far left table, looking at the bridge. Okay, so I've had many, many hours to look at it and think about it. And the first thing I thought about, it'd be nice if we could add color to it. So if we could replace the LEDs from white LEDs to red, green, and blue, we could basically do anything we want. The next thing I did, I looked at the bridge and I said, well, this really looks like an organ. And then I thought, okay, an organ, well, now we have music. And I'm wondering, what if we synthesize Beethoven's Fifth? I wonder what that might look like. And then I said, okay, let's go all the way now. Let's start thinking about E.T. and sending an extraterrestrial, you know, message. And you can now see waves of green, emerald blue, you know, waving to the bridge. And I say, great. But now the problem, as usual, is how do you pay for all this good stuff? And this is where Supervisor Campos and I got into some kind of misunderstanding, and hopefully we're going to clear that up once and for all. And so the idea was sending some kind of a corporate message. I'll give you a couple of examples. Just imagine in the evening, as you're flying into SFO, you can see five rings on the bridge in true Olympic color. You know, wouldn't that be nice, okay? And in closing, Supervisor Campos, I believe I can win you over this time. The last suggestion is that every time the foghorn goes off at A&T Park, the bridge will flash Go Giants. Thank you.
Okay, sold.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you very much for your comments. And our final speaker is Ken Bukowski.
Well, this is the last meeting of the year, so I want to wish everybody a happy holiday. As of Friday on the web page, I now have a calendar there, so you can go to that calendar, click the date, and find any meeting you want right away. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ken. And I would also like to echo a happy holidays greetings to everyone. And now note that we will be going into a closed session conference with legal counsel, existing litigation. I'd want to remind everyone just to take your things with you. As you leave, the commission will meet in closed session pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9A and Paragraph 1 of Subdivision D of Government Code Section 549569 to confer with legal counsel regarding the following litigation: Bay Area Citizens versus ABAG and MTC et al., Alameda County Superior Court Case Number RG13690631, California 1st Appellate District, Division 2, Case Number A143058, The Post Sustainability Institute, Rosa Choir, Michael Shaw versus ABAG and MTC et al., Alameda County Superior Court, Case Number RG13699215. And I don't have any. Do I want to announce the second priest, too? Okay, and then the second item will be a conference with real property negotiators. Commission will meet in closed session pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.8 to confer with real property negotiators to discuss a potential real estate sale or lease purchase transaction as follows: Property 101-101 8th Street, Oakland, second and third floors, including MTC's condominium interest in the Metro Center. I'd like to, I don't have any speaker cards for any public comment before we go into closed session, so we will now convene.
Add who the agents.
Do you want me to read the other part?
Yeah.
Okay. For MTC, we have the MTC negotiators Steve Heminger, Executive Director Andrew Famir, Deputy Executive Director Brian Mayhew, Chief Financial Officer Terry Green, Director. For BART, we have BART negotiators Grace Kunikin, General Manager, Jeffrey Ordway, Manager, Real Estate and Property Development, John Reynolds, Property Development Project Manager, Sue Schaffer, Principal Right of. Okay, we're now reconvening back into open session, and I'd like to turn to our General Counsel for a report out on the session.
The Commission met in closed session as indicated on item number 10 in the agenda, conference with legal counsel, existing litigation, and conference with real property negotiators, and no reportable action was taken in either matter.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We have no additional speaker cards for public comment, and therefore our meeting is now adjourned to our next meeting, which will be on Wednesday, January 28th at 9:35. So thank you.